Get your Bibles out, and I want you to turn to Psalm 91, the book of Psalms, and specifically Psalm 91. Amen. Psalm 91 is a powerful psalm, and I want us to read the whole thing, and then we'll get into the heart of the message. Psalm 91 and verse 1 reads this way: "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge." I want you to say refuge. "And my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall find protection. His faithfulness shall be your shield and wall. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that pursues in darkness, nor of the destruction that strikes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge," I want to say refuge again, "even the Most High your dwelling, there shall be no evil befall you. Neither shall any plague come near your tent, for he shall give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." And I want us to read verses 1 through 2 one more time. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And I want to speak with you today on the subject of the Lord our refuge. The Lord our refuge. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help me to relay to your people the truth that you have laid upon my heart. I pray that, Lord, you would help us to understand that when this world is going in ways that boggle our minds, that we don't have to worry about what we see with our eyes, because we can run to you who is very secure. I pray that we would understand, Lord God, how truthful it is that you are our refuge. Give us understanding, open our hearts and our minds today, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. As I mentioned earlier, I'm sure many of you, as well as many of us, have seen a lot of things take place in the world just within the few short days of the past week. There's a lot of things going on in the world, and a lot of those things can be troubling. When we see the protests that are going on, we see the rebellion that is happening, we see the divided nation that we are living in, it can cause concern in any one of our hearts. And with that concern comes a lot of questions as far as what now? How is all this going to work? Believe it or not, there was a lot of fear in the hearts of people when the current president, President Obama, became the president. And now we are in the same place again, wondering what will happen. But you and I must remember that we are citizens of an entirely different kingdom than the kingdom of the United States of America alone. You and I are Americans, and thank God for the United States of America. You and I can still appreciate the fact that we can gather together here in the United States of America and worship the Lord without fear. Amen. We can still read our Bibles in the open. We can still do things that other nations cannot do. And so we can be thankful for this nation. But we are not Americans first and then Christians. We are Christians and then we are Americans. And we must always keep in mind that we are a part of the kingdom of God. And God's kingdom is still advancing in the world today. And our God is a triumphant God. He's a God that you and I can rest securely in. Our God doesn't change when the president changes. Our God doesn't change when the supreme justices change in the Supreme Court. Our God is still Almighty God and is still able to move within the affairs of men. And so you and I don't need to be like the rest of the world, looking to the left and to the right and wondering, oh God, what now? But instead, you and I can run into the shelter of His arms. And we can have a trust and a dependence in Him now like never before. Believe it or not, the more trying and the more difficult the times become, the more real God will become in your life. Because when you can't run to anybody else and to all those other things that we may have trusted in, and you run to Him that is steadfast, then you're going to know Him better. And so as awful as it may seem, and if the world tends to grow darker and darker, you and I can grow nearer and nearer to our Heavenly Father. And we will know Him to be exactly what the psalmist said right here in Psalm 91. Psalm 91 doesn't have an author at the beginning of it. It doesn't say a Psalm of David. But most scholars believe that this psalm was written by Moses. Moses was a man that knew God. And I'm not saying that David didn't. But the writer of this psalm had a relationship with God that was amazing when we study the Old Testament, especially the first five books of the Scripture. Moses was a man that had a relationship with God where he communed with God in a way that very few ever have. Moses one time even asked the Lord, "Let me see you. I want to see you." And God said, "Well, I'll show you who I am and I'll pass by you. You're not able to see my face. But when I pass by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll cover your face and I'll let you see my hinder parts, your back parts." He saw God's literal back. He would commune with God. There was a time when he was communing with God on that holy mount for 40 days and 40 nights without ever eating, and he never grew hungry. It's amazing. But Moses, if he was truly the writer of this psalm, is an example that you and I can see in how we will get to know God as our refuge. For you see, if you and I aren't dwelling, as that verse 1 says, in the secret place of the Most High, we will never get to know Him intimately. You see, you and I, many of us, maybe we're raised in church. We've heard the Christian talk. We've learned the Christianese. We know church happens every Sunday. We know the preacher's going to preach from the Bible, hopefully, right? I believe every preacher should preach from the Scripture. But we're going to get some teaching in the morning in our Sunday school class, and we hear the Scripture, we hear it from the sermon. But it's not enough just to hear it with the hearing of our ears. There comes a point in time when you and I have a personal one-on-one encounter with God Almighty, a personal relationship with Him. And when that relationship happens and we have that encounter with God, you see, my walk with the Lord isn't determined by my mother's walk with God. Amen? My walk with God isn't going to be determined even by my wife, but I thank God, even as I prayed, "Lord, give me someone that loves you more than me." Amen. And God answered that prayer. But we have a personal encounter. We must have a personal encounter with God. And that relationship with God must be a relationship that grows and develops. And Moses grew in his knowledge of God. There was something in his heart, even as a young boy, that he knew there was a plan in his life. When he killed the Egyptian before he left into the Egyptian wilderness, he tried to take matters into his own hands. But God was not going to do it the way he thought, the way he planned. God had a plan differently. And so after he ended up in the backside of the desert, he stayed there after he was 40 years old. He stayed in the backside of the desert for another 40 years. You see, Moses at one time thought he was something, and then he ended up in the wilderness where he realized he was nothing. And by the end, when God called him to go back to Egypt, he said, "You go, Moses, and you speak to Pharaoh." And he says, "I don't even know how to speak. I can't even say one word or another." He was tongue-tied. He had a stutter. He couldn't speak right. And God was saying, "I'm telling you to go, believe me." But then God would eventually honor his request and allow Aaron, his brother, to be the mouthpiece. The point being that he became nothing. And it was ultimately to go to the place where he could show God to be everything. We must be like the psalmist here, and we must learn to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We must be a people that will set time apart in our day, in our lives, in our walk, in our everyday living, where we will get into that secret place and begin to pray and ask God for a revelation of who He really is. I'm here to tell you, God wants to reveal Himself to you. He doesn't show favorites. He doesn't just show Himself to preachers with big names, with big television shows. He wants to show Himself to you. The Scripture says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter how much money we have or don't have. It doesn't matter our skin color. It doesn't matter where we've come from and where we were raised. If we will call out to God with all sincerity, "Reveal yourself to me," God will answer that prayer. And the Scripture says, "He who dwells in the secret place," a modern version may say, "the shelter of the Most High." It's a place where we get alone with Him. The secret place is a place of hiding. It's a place that others may not know, but it's a secret place where you get alone with Him. Jesus said we must learn to close the door behind us. He says, when you pray, go into the closet and shut the door. And whatever you pray in secret, I will answer openly. We must be a people that go into that secret place. And as we begin to go into that secret place and we begin to learn who our God is, we are going to come out of that secret place as we do every day and every part of our lives. And we are going to come away with an understanding that we are abiding, as it said there in the latter part, under the shadow of the Almighty. That means that you're so close to Him that you're dwelling in the shadow that is cast. I don't know about you, but as a young child, I mean, how many of you were just taken aback when you saw your shadow? I still remember being a young kid, and when the sun was going down and seeing my shadow way all long. How many of you remember that? You know, in the evening, and your shadow's all long, and you're just looking at yourself like Mr. Long Slender Man or something, right? And you're looking at that long shadow. But the shadow is nearby the person because of the light that is shining past that person and giving the shadow. Amen? But that shadow is connected to that person. And in the same way, there is an element of nearness that is being described in the shadow. You see, we go into that secret place, but then we abide under His shadow. That means that you're walking near Him. That means that you are right by Him in your walk in life. And as you walk with Him, and as you're spending time with Him in that secret place, then you're going to know verse 2 to be a reality in your life. It says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And I'm here to tell you that the church needs to come back to this place. We don't have to be moved by the politicians or by what the Democrats are saying on TV or even what's fair and balanced on Fox News. There's always a sway. They're always trying to get you to think a particular way, but don't be fooled. Learn to see things the way that God sees them. Remember, you're not a part of this world anymore. You're a part of the kingdom of Almighty God. And so it doesn't matter per se. We should be in prayer for the government. We should be in prayer for president-elects. We should be in prayer for those that are rulers and leaders in government. Yes, we should be praying for them. But even more than that, We should be in the secret place with our God. And when we do, we're going to know Him to be our refuge. When the world is running and they don't know where to go, you as a child of the living God know to whom to run. When everything else is going chaotic all around, you can be in peace as a child of the living God. You don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry. Last Sunday we talked about, fear not, little flock. We really don't need to be afraid, because He is our refuge. He is the one that we trust. Amen. I mean, yes, we pray that they will put people in office that will help to keep the law and keep our Constitution. Yes, we pray for that. But we should be praying, oh God, help my relationship with You to grow, that I am not swayed like the masses, that I am in tune with You because You are my refuge. The psalmist continued and said, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. That's the hunter, the one that hunts birds. The bird hunter will always set up his trap in a way that the bird is totally oblivious that there's even a trap there. You see, the enemy knows how to set up traps. He doesn't always do it in blatant, obvious, sinful ways. Did you know that? He is like the fowler. He'll do it in ways that is sometimes unaware. But the Bible says if we will trust in Him, He will deliver us from the snare of the fowler. I remember there was a person who had gone through a scenario in their life where they were going through such a trial that it was between them and God. No one else understood. But whenever they came through this trial and God delivered them from the snare, this person told me how that they would go walking and God would give a little token of a reminder. And every day they would find a feather on the ground, a feather of a bird. And it was a reminder of their deliverance from the fowler. We don't have to be afraid. If we will run to Him and spend time being in our refuge, He will deliver us from the snares. He will bring us through. It says, under His wings you shall find protection. His faithfulness shall be your shield and wall. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. We don't have to be afraid like the world out there. How many of you know that? If you do, say amen. Amen. You don't have to be afraid like the world out there. You have someone you can trust in. When it says He shall cover you with His feathers, it actually gives the picture of the eagle watching over her brood, her nest, taking care of her young. You don't have to be afraid. He will watch over you as His child. If you've been away from the Lord, He's not condemning you. He's saying, come back under the shadow. You know where the secret place is. Go in there. Amen. You will not be afraid. Even the pestilence that pursues in the night, or even the destruction that strikes at noonday. He said, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. These are amazing promises here. Now, I've got to bring out another side of this psalm that is a reality, and it is also a messianic psalm. It doesn't only speak of God's promises to you. It's also the promises of the Father to His Son, Jesus Christ. You all remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and the devil began to use the Word of God against Jesus. He said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself off. Because the Bible said, he didn't say the Bible said, but the Scripture says, as it says here in verse 12, it says, they shall bear you up, talking about His angels, verse 11, for He shall give His angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And this was messianic, because Jesus, in His life, His human life, His human existence, never once broke a human bone. The scripture even said that he would bear him up in his arms, lest he even strike his foot against a stone. It's amazing. It's messianic. It's talking about Jesus. But I'm here to tell you something else about that messianic psalm. Did you all remember what we studied in Ephesians when we talked about being in Christ? You are in him. Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. We are in Christ. In the same way that promise applied to him, it applies to you because you are in him. And so we have the promise. Look at it. It says here in verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your tent, for he shall give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. You as a child of the living God have angelic angels watching over you. We don't see it. But one day when we're in heaven and God allows us to look into our lives, we will see the many times that God's angels were watching over us. Amen? You know, we sometimes say we pray for traveling mercies. How many of you use that word? Traveling mercies. I had never heard of that until I went to Pennsylvania and the president would talk about traveling mercies, and I began to understand that's that prayer. God protect us in our travels. And I hear it here too. Amen? Traveling mercies. You pray, oh God, protect us on the drive today. And we don't know how many times God has spared us from an accident or from things. I remember last year, Christmas time, we were driving to Texas, and when we were getting into Santa Rosa, New Mexico, I needed the bathroom. Hey, that's natural, right? We've all needed the bathroom when we're driving. But I needed it pretty bad, so I said, well, let me go stop at the bathroom. And, you know, went to the bathroom, you know, and did what we had to do. And all of us got down and did the same thing. We got back on the van and started driving towards Texas again. And right, I mean, it would have probably been within the time frame that we stopped to use the restroom and got back on the van. Within that time we were driving, and an accident had just occurred on the freeway. And that accident was so horrible, two people died instantaneously in that wreck. There was an 18-wheeler, and there was a car sandwiched in the back end, literally sandwiched in the back end. I mean, it was horrible. And the other truck was to the side. What happened was the car that was in between two 18-wheelers, I don't know, we don't know what happened, but something happened that the car went into the back of the 18-wheeler, and then the semi-truck didn't have time to stop and then pushed it even worse into the back. We found out later in the news, looking at it online, that there was a young couple had only been married for probably about a year or so, died instantaneously in that wreck. Now, am I saying that God showed favor to us over that family? No, I'm not trying to say that. We don't understand why sometimes things like that do happen. But I do know that we passed that wreck before the police, before the fire trucks, and everything else, before they shut down the freeway for how many hours did they shut it down? We would have been stuck there for hours. But we had just missed it that fast that we passed beside it before the help came. Y'all kind of get what I'm saying here? When you and I are praying for traveling mercies and we're resting in our God will protect us. Amen? He will shelter you under the shadow. You're with him and he's going to watch over you. And the scripture says he's going to give his angels charge over you. And we can believe that God is watching out for us. Amen? It says in verse 15, well, let's read verse 14. It says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. And I will deliver him and honor him. Will be with him in trouble. I skipped that. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. There is something about what God wants to do in all of our lives if we will just simply learn to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I know all of us want a future for our own lives as well as for our children. But I'm here to encourage you as well as myself to never stray from the secret place. Because the more we know him, the more we are in tune and intimate with him, we are going to know him to be a refuge, a fortress. We will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He will keep us safe. He will watch over our families. He will help us when the bills are about to come due. God will watch out for us. And so in a similar way as last Sunday with Fear Not, Little Flock, the Lord is telling us, don't be afraid. Know Him. Know Him. And let Him know you. Know Him. God has made a way through the shed blood of His own Son for you to be able to know God. But God doesn't only want you to know Him, He wants to know you. What do you mean, Pastor James? I thought He knows everything. Yes, He does. But there is something about you as an individual opening up your heart to Him and saying, God, here I am. Amen? Let Him know you. Let Him have the deepest recesses of your heart. And He will do things in your life that will really amaze you. Amen? He closed it out by saying, with a long life I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. Amen? Amen. Let's stand this morning.